ಮಮ ಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅವರ್ ಆನ್ಯುವಲ್ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಚತುರ್ದಶಿ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್. ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೀಕ್ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ and all the Vaishnavas for doing this service of glorifying Lord Narasimha Dev on his most wonderful appearance day. This is one of the most popular festivals because devotees approach Lord Narasimha Dev whenever they have problems, and in material world we have problems always. And especially Narasimha Chaturdashi festival is very popular amongst children also. We see children, the first thing they learn as they are growing up is Narasimha Arati. And even new devotees, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, what attracts us a lot to Krishna consciousness is of course prasadam. And along with prasadam is Narasimha Arati kirtan. Many people pick it up very fast and they are very attracted by the melody. And today is this auspicious, most auspicious day when Lord Narasimha Dev appeared, and we have an opportunity to aspire to make this initial attraction to Lord Narasimha Dev more deeper and stronger. And we will be discussing, because we have not much time, we will discuss in the little time we have from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam contains in detail about this most wonderful pastime of Lord Narasimha Dev, and why he appeared, how he appeared, what activities he performed. And also, Srimad Bhagavatam is the shelter for all devotees, and our connection with Krishna is re-established through this spotless sacred scripture. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that all devotees should study Srimad Bhagavatam. And all acharyas in our parampara have taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Madeka bandhu mad sangin, mad guru mad mahadhana, mad nistaraka mad bhagya, madananda namostate. Srila Sanatana Goswami says that Srimad Bhagavatam is my only friend. It is my intimate associate. Srimad Bhagavatam is my guru. It is my greatest wealth. Srimad Bhagavatam is my deliverer, and Srimad Bhagavatam is my greatest fortune, and Srimad Bhagavatam is my only bliss. So our ability to understand the Lord, our approach, our method to understand the Lord is through this most wonderful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear Prahlad Maharaj's pastime and Dhruva Maharaj's pastime hundreds of times, again and again and again. He would relish, he would feel intense separation from Krishna. And you tell Gadadhar Pandit, remove this suffering, remove this transcendental, that ecstasy was feeling. So Gadadhar Pandit would speak pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and then Lord Chaitanya would feel the separation mitigated. He would relish. It was like an transcendental intoxication that he would take. And he would feel his very sweet, he would feel remembering Krishna. So we may not be able to relate how somebody can hear the same pastime hundreds of times. But to make us understand, His Holiness Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami Maharaj gives an example. And that example is of this perverted material world, and which we can relate to very well. So he says how sometimes a man, he may be in love and his heart may be broken. And he may be very sad that his girlfriend has left him. So he may sing songs that my heart is broken. You know, he may say, Dil toot gaya, he may cry like that. So his friend comes to him and says, come with me, I will take you. So his friend takes him to a liquor bar and gives him liquor, and he drinks. And after he finishes drinking two glasses, his friend gives him more. So this man keeps drinking, and then as he is drinking, he is crying, and eventually he tells his friend, you are my real friend. Because you are helping me forget this misery. And then he embraces him and says, you are my real friend. So Bhaktiraksha Sridhar Maharaj would say, this is the perverted reflection of what ecstasy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced on a transcendental platform. He was feeling intense separation from Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit would give him Krishna Katha. He would give him Dhruva Maharaj Katha. And Mahaprabhu would say more. So then that's how Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation would be alleviated. And he would embrace Gadadhar Pandit and tell him, you are my only friend. You are giving me Krishna Prem. So because we are at a very low level, we may not be able to appreciate how Srimad Bhagavatam can be relished by great souls. But we should have faith. Pibata Bhagavata Rasamalayam Muhur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. Great souls have heard this pastime repeatedly. So we are fortunate that we have a chance today to speak and hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. There are 10 chapters in the 7th canto which describe this pastime. Around 650 pages. So we won't be able to cover all of that today. So we'll touch upon this pastime very briefly. And devotees can go back home and read this pastime in great detail. And get encouraged and inspired in their devotional service. For us, it may not be a nectarine transcendental intoxication, but Bhagavatam may be a medicine for us. So let us dutifully take this medicine regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So we'll begin with the first chapter of the 7th canto. Srila Prabhupada emphasized a lot to devotees that we should pray to Lord Narasimha Dev for removing all obstacles. In 1969, when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, devotees were going to San Francisco for Rath Yatra that day, and early in the morning, before Mangalarti, somebody threw a bomb inside the temple, a pipe bomb, and all the windows broke. Many devotees were very seriously injured. It was a very unfortunate incident. And then the police came, things were sorted out, and after a few hours, Prabhupada came down to give class. And that morning when he gave class, he just chanted this mantra, Narasimharti, Namaste Narasimhaya, and Tavakarakamalavare Nakam. These verses he chanted, he made the devotees write them down, he taught these verses to the devotees, and said, now, as ISKCON is becoming popular and growing, demons will attack, and we have to take shelter of Lord Narasimha Dev. So that's how devotees learned this Narasimharti. Even earlier, when Srila Prabhupada was having heart palpitations and he suffered a stroke in New York, devotees, when they took him to the hospital, Srila Prabhupada told them to pray to Lord Narasimha Dev and pray to Lord Narasimha Dev that, my dear Lord, please keep our spiritual master because he has not yet finished his work. So devotees would pray. So we always face obstacles and temptations in our devotional service, and Lord Narasimha Dev is our friend. He is our shelter. So today we'll begin with the background of this pastime. Sukhdev Goswami is asked by Parikshit Maharaj that why is Lord partial? Now he is echoing the feelings of many people in this world, and as Govind Prabhu said today morning, such a beautiful point, devotee is very honest in asking questions. So that makes him very sweet. So Parikshit Maharaj very honestly says that it appears that Lord is partial. He always favors the demigods. Sukhdev Goswami says, no, Lord is not partial. We are infected by three modes. So we always are in duality. So we think that the Lord is partial, but Lord is neutral. Second question Parikshit Maharaj asks is that, okay, Lord is neutral, is not partial, but then why is he going to the other extreme? That even demons who derided him like Shishupal, they got salvation. They were enemies of Krishna. How did this happen? So then Sukhdev Goswami explains how the same question was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni explains same point that this is the power of remembering Krishna. Even if somebody is so envious like Shishupal, if somebody intensely remembers Krishna, he can get salvation. This is the glory of Krishna. This is not to encourage people to become envious of Krishna. But an intelligent person will think, oh, if by being envious of Krishna we can get salvation, but then if you love Krishna, what more we can get? Just like if there is a college which advertises that please take admission in our college, and even if you fail, we will give you a 7-figure salary and a world tour, we'll give you so much money, so much perks. Only a fool will think, I'll go to this college and fail. An intelligent person will think, oh, if I go to this college and if I fail, I'm going to get so much. If I actually clear the exams, what more I'm going to get? So that is the whole idea of Bhagavatam. That even Shishupal got salvation. So then, Narad Muni is explaining this and he tells that Lord is not partial. In fact, Shishupal and Dantavakra were Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and they were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and they were actually Jay Vijay, who were cursed and they came down to material world. And Hiranyakashipu, then he mentions just a little bit that Hiranyakashipu tormented his wonderful son Prahlad. So the Yudhishthira Maharaj says, but why would a father torture his own son? And what is the qualities of Prahlad? I would like to know. And then Narad Muni starts explaining the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and Narasimhadev. So he begins by explaining how Hiranyaksha, the elder brother of Hiranyakashipu, was killed. For younger brother, he was killed by Lord Varahadev, who appeared in the boar incarnation. So when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu became very angry. And he accused Lord Vishnu of partiality. He said, you are very partial. And then he wanted to take revenge against Vishnu. But before taking revenge, he first consoled his nephews, his sister-in-law, his mother. And he speaks to them spiritual instructions. He tells them that, why are you lamenting? Time is very powerful. And we are all products of our karma. And we are all strangers. Just like few people come together in and then they separate. Similarly, we are all coming together. We may be separated later. And then he gives the example of the Kulinga bird, which was killed by a hunter. And the male Kulinga bird, he started crying, seeing his wife being killed. And as he was crying, the hunter shot him also dead. So Hiranyakashipu tells this story, saying that if we are lamenting in this material world, we will be destroyed by the power of time. So Hiranyakashipu's sister-in-law and mother receive spiritual instructions from Hiranyakashipu. And after giving these instructions, what does he do? He goes to the Mandara mountain to perform tapasya so that he can get benedictions by which he can kill Lord Vishnu. This is the... And he plans to become immortal. So this means there is a fundamental flaw in the character of Hiranyakashipu. He knows all the philosophy very well. That's why we never quote Hiranyakashipu while giving class. Now you will see devotees may say that, as Narad Muni says in first canto, so and so, or Dhruva Maharaj says in fourth canto that association of devotees is important, or Ambarish Maharaj says in ninth canto. We never say, as Hiranyakashipu says, time is very powerful. We never quote Hiranyakashipu. Why? Because there is no congruency between what he is and what he speaks. He doesn't walk his talk. So this is very important for devotees, that we have to know that simply knowing everything in Krishna consciousness is not sufficient. Even Hiranyakashipu knew. So we have to be exemplary. We have to aspire to become exemplary. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once when he heard that one of his disciples had lied and he had got funds for the Gaudiya Math temple, when he came to know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so upset that he fasted for many days, saying that this is not correct. We should be exemplary. So this is the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam. Through the example of Hiranyakashipu, we are exposed to our own anarthas, how we are lacking in being free from duplicity. So we have so many anarthas, like a rat, you know, it keeps digging holes and filling it up. And then it digs another hole, fills it up. So we have dug so many holes in our heart and filled it with so much muck, so much dirt, so much anarthas. And Srimad Bhagavatam so mercifully exposes us to our own anarthas. It's like an X-ray report, you know. This is what you are. But Srimad Bhagavatam is so merciful that not only we come to know what our anarthas are, by repeatedly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that also acts as the medicine to clean ourselves of the anarthas. It's a unique scripture. So therefore we are so fortunate that Hiranyakashipu we can... We may not be told that you are Hiranyakashipu, but by hearing Hiranyakashipu's pastime, an intelligent person is supposed to think, oh, am I like Hiranyakashipu? I have to slowly remove this Hiranyakashipu tendency from my heart and cultivate Prahlad tendency. So So Hiranyakashipu is now consoled his family and has gone to Mandara mountain to perform severe penance. And his plan is to become immortal. He doesn't want to die. So he performs intense tapasya. As he performs tapasya, fire starts coming out from his head. And that fire burns the whole universe, the demigods, animals, humans, everybody is perturbed. They all run to Brahma. Please save us from this tapasya of Hiranyakashipu. So Brahmaji comes and he appears in front of Hiranyakashipu and tells him, I am pleased by your tapasya, ask for a benediction. So Hiranyakashipu, he had already planned everything intelligently. And he says, my dear Lord Brahma, please give me a benediction that I may never be killed by any living entity who is created by you. And then he says, let me not be killed outside the house or inside the house. Let me not be killed in sky. Let me not die in the earth or the sky. Let me not be killed by a human or an animal. Let me not be killed by any weapon or any living or dead person. Like that. So he prays for all these permutations, combinations he works out by which he cannot die. And then he also asks for 8 mystic perfections. Anima, Mahima, Lagima, Siddhi, Prapti, all those things. And Brahmaji says, Tathastu, so be it. So he gets this benediction. It's amazing, isn't it? That Hiranyakashipu is so foolish that he's making such a perfect plan to not die. I mean, he doesn't realize that his elder brother also died miserably. And how he died? Hiranyakashipu. There are 2 chapters, I think 18th and 19th chapter or 7th, 3rd canto. Detailed description of the fight between Varahadev and Hiranyakashipu. Massive fight is going on. Very graphic descriptions are there. But ultimately when Brahmaji tells Varahadev, enough, you know, please kill him. We are afraid now, enough, both okay. And then Lord Varahadev says, okay, now I'll kill him. Lord Varahadev doesn't have to exert very much. He's just tiny slap above the ear of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu dies. Hiranyakashipu knows this. So if Hiranyakashipu, such a powerful demon, can be killed so effortlessly by the Lord, what power will it take for Lord Vishnu to kill him? But he is making such a perfect plan. So here in material world also we have many demons who make such plans to not die. But Lord doesn't have to come himself. Through his material energy he will give a tiny slap. You know, he'll send a small HIV or a cancer or some disease. And okay. So this is how the Lord will finish us off. We are tiny, we are insignificant. There was recently a very big professor in MIT, Dr. Gerald Sussman. So he was giving a lecture and he told his audience, my dear ladies and gentlemen, I am very pleased to announce that we are the last generation to die. And everybody applauded. And he said, because science is advancing so much that from next generation onwards, nobody will die. You know, and everybody applauded. And this MIT professor, great man, he's speaking like this. And everybody is convinced also and they're appreciating. But devotees are not impressed because they know same statements were made millions of years ago by Mr. Hiranyakashipu. So it's not something very great. Somebody may be very rich. It is said that Mr. Death will get us all and there is no way we can escape death. A rich man cannot bribe Mr. Death. That don't come to me, you know, I give you so much money. A beautiful woman, she cannot seduce Mr. Death and tell him to leave her alone. Or a strong man cannot wrestle with death and bring him into submission. Or an intelligent man cannot debate with death and defeat him. No, death will get us all. And poor Hiranyakashipu is ignorant of this fact, although he has imparted spiritual instructions earlier, but now he is a victim of his own ego, his desire, of wanting to be the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu, on the strength of these benedictions, starts terrorizing the universe. He goes on a massive rampage. He drives out all the demigods And all the demigods except Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, everybody becomes his personal servant. He makes all of them serve him. And what kind of services? They massage him, they get food for him, and he has so much power that he can, even when it is off season, he can get things that he wants. He can tell the land to produce rice, whatever he wants. Or if it's December, month of December, he can say, I want a fresh Alfonso mango, and he'll get that mango. Anything he wants at any season, any time he can get. Any pleasure he wants. That was the power of Hiranyakashipu. And everybody worshipped him. And earth yielded whatever he asked for. Nobody dared to go against him. This was the power of Hiranyakashipu. But Narad Muni explains what was his situation. What was his internal state? Saitam nirjita kakuba ekrat vishayan priyan eto pajosha bunjano natrupyat ajitendriya. Saitam nirjita kakuba. He had conquered over all the directions. Ekrat vishayan priyan. He was the undisputed enjoyer of this world. And he could enjoy how much? Ethopa josha bunjano. As much as he wanted, he could enjoy. But his situation was na tripyat, not satisfied. Because ajitendriya, because he had not controlled his senses. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very powerful purport that if we do not control our senses, we cannot be happy. And this is a demon. Srila Prabhupada in one purport explains very beautifully the definition of a demon. Who is a demon? Demon is not, you know, we think demon means some big horns coming out and huge. Srila Prabhupada says, demon is he who works very hard without benefiting himself. No? Simple definition. So in this, by this definition, many people in this world can be called as demons. So this is the nature of this world, that people want to be happy, they have so much luxury, so much enjoyment, but not tripyat, because ajitendriya, because their senses are not in control. During Nityananda Tridashi lecture, Devamrit Maharaj was giving the example that how when he was a young boy in school in America in 1960s, his teachers would tell them, dear children, another 30 years from now, the most wanted career would be leisure time engineers. Because 30 years from, science will advance so much that people will have so many luxuries. They will have so much leisure time. They will be relaxing so much. So they need enjoyment. So you have to create luxuries for them to enjoy. So leisure time engineers, that will be the most wanted profession. So now, 30, 40, 50 years have passed. Are people very relaxed? Just one look at the local train, you know how people are relaxed. What is their condition? So who is the taskmaster? It is Maya. People have advanced so much, still they are not happy. Because the basic point is this, senses are not controlled. I want it. I want more, more, more. What is that slogan I saw somewhere? Dil mange more. You know? I saw somewhere they had written like that. I want more, I want more. So people think this is great, but this will keep us agitated. This is Hiranyakashipu mentality. Na tripyat ajitendriya. I want more, more. And therefore, we have to accept scriptural injections, which scriptures say that one has to control his senses. Hiranyakashipu was miserable because he was not controlling his senses. 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 23rd verse says, Ya shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kama karata, nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham paramgatim. You will not get sukha, you will not get success, and you cannot go back to Godhead if we disregard scriptural injunctions. And today we have controlled material nature like anything. Or we think like that. You know, in the summer we can have AC, and winter we can have heat in our room. And very close to temple, one of the world's richest man is staying. And his building is called as an intelligent building, because that building is adapted to the environment. So much control over nature we have. Today we have so much luxuries. iPods, computers, mobile phones, but no necessities, no drinking water, no air, fresh air to breathe. That is our situation. So this is the result of having Hiranyakashipu mentality. controlling and abusing nature. But because he was not getting real happiness, to get more and more sense pleasures, he thought, would give him happiness. So he started persecuting demigods and devotees more and more and more. And he became so frustrated that his exploitation and abuse increased. And demigods were very perturbed. And they approached the Supreme Lord and they said, "Dear Lord, please save us." And Lord Vishnu spoke to them. And Lord Vishnu said, "Don't worry. When Hiranyakashipu will offend the great devotee Prahlad, who will be his own son, that time I shall kill Hiranyakashipu, despite the benedictions of Brahma." So what is the standard? Lord is saying, when Hiranyakashipu offends Prahlad, my greatest devotee, I will come and rip him apart. And Srila Prabhupada writes the whole purport on how if we offend devotees, we will be destroyed. When Mr. N troubled Srila Prabhupada in the Juhu temple building construction, on one evening, Mr. N pointed finger at Prabhupada and called him very derogatory words and told him, "I'll come to your temple, you are a nuisance, I'll break your temple." He abused Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada was very quiet. And the next day, Mr. N got a severe heart attack. And he suffered terribly and after a few days he died. And when Prabhupada got the news, he was silent for some time and then he said, "Narsimhadev Bhagwan ki jai." So Narsimhadev protects. And Mr. N had many friends. There was one Mr. Matre, who was a big school principal and a trustee of many schools. And he was so envious of devotees at Vileparle station, he would distribute pamphlets ascribing scandalous behavior to Hare Krishna devotees. And whoever would get on at Santa Cruz or Vileparle, they would get these pamphlets. So Narsimhadev destroyed him because he was destroying the reputation of devotees. How Narsimhadev destroyed him? One day suddenly in all the newspapers of Bombay there was headlines about Mr. Matre involved in some illicit scandal with his own school teachers. And it was such a big scandal and all there were murchas with Mr. Matre's photo with garland of chappals. And he was criticized. He became a disgrace. There was this another friend who was also envious of devotees, Mr. Tembe. He was an MLA and he tried to get all the life members together and take over the ISKCON property. So on that main day when they were supposed to have a meeting, Narsimhadev destroyed him. How? He got up from his bed and suddenly realized he cannot get up. He was paralyzed, waist below. And he had to suffer in the bed for many years. He just couldn't do anything. And there was another more very envious person, Mr. Rane, who was a black magician, Tantrik. And when Mrs. N attacked the temple with the help of police, and when devotees were trying to stop the temple being destroyed, so last the Matajis were trying to protect the deities. The police were dragging the Mataji by the hair and pulling her away. This was Gandiva Mataji. Her mother, Maithili Mataji, was seeing. And Mr. Rane was standing there and he was laughing very happily that the devotees deserve this. So Maithili Mataji got so angry. She cursed him. She said, "You are laughing when deities and devotees are being attacked. The fire of your offense will burn you." She shouted at him. And then few days later, as they were having Mangala, then the whole pastime happened. One politician got involved and the demolition stopped and stay order was issued and things like that. And finally, after a few days when they were having Mangalarti, suddenly the devotees heard screaming sound during Mangalarti time. And they all came out and they saw Mr. Rane is burning in fire. And devotees were shocked. What happened? Why is he burning in fire? And he was charred to death there. What had happened at home, very close by, he had taken Prabhupada's some doll kind of thing and he was using black magic to kill Prabhupada. And because when you try that with a pure devotee, it backfires. So when he was trying that, suddenly he didn't know what has happened to him. He just went to the kitchen, took out kerosene and put it on his own body and lit a match. And then he realized what he had done. And then he came out. And by that time it was too late. So then the devotees remembered that Mataji is saying that the fire of your offense will burn you. So Prabhupada in this purport also writes how if you offend devotees, Prahlad was offended by Hiranyakashipu. So Lord destroyed him. So the demigods become happy to hear that Lord will come and he is going to protect us. And then Narad Muni describes about Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Hiranyakashipu had 4 wonderful and well qualified sons and the one named Prahlad was the best because he was a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And then Narad Muni goes on to describe the wonderful qualities of Prahlad. how he was completely cultured. He was having excellent character. He had full control over his senses. He was kind to everyone. He was a menial servant at heart. And he would respect all his teachers, spiritual masters, older god brothers, as good as the Lord. And most importantly, he was free from all pride. And he had control over his senses. Amazing. Prahlad's qualities, Narad Muni is saying, exact opposite of Hiranyakashipu, his father. And Prabhupada says, why? In this purport, Prabhupada says that Vaishnava is determined to understand and love Krishna, therefore he controls his senses. It's very important to control our senses because it helps us to improve and develop love for Krishna. And also, Prahlad, during every provocative situation, he never got provoked. This is also very important. Devotees also get provoked many times, so we can take inspiration from Prahlad. When we are provoked, we may not be motivated to tolerate that provocation, but one exercise that can help us is immediately ask, if I react to this provocation, how will it affect my japa tomorrow? When we ask this question, automatically, you know, we become alert. If I get angry or if I do something wrong, or if some sense object is presented, and if we try to enjoy it, immediately the thought of the next day's chanting or our sadhana, that will alert us. So Prahlad was like that. He was never provoked by anything. And then, now this is very interesting. Narad Muni is guru of Prahlad. And the spiritual master is glorifying his disciple. So many verses. Verses after verses. This is Vaishnava community, you know. Even the spiritual master is so happy glorifying his disciple. And Narad Muni says that Prahlad considered everything material to be useless. And he says, since millions of years this pastime took place, whenever great saints and devotees gather, my dear Yudhishthir, everybody talks about Prahlad. And today also we are talking. And 5,000 years from now, when devotees will celebrate Narasimha Chaturdashi in their ISKCON temples, they will also glorify Prahlad. So he's saying that for eternity, devotees will glorify Prahlad Maharaj. And then he says, why Prahlad is so glorious? Because he was influenced by one planet. People are generally influenced by Shani, Rahu, Ketu. But Prahlad was influenced by which planet? Nesta krida nako balo jadavattan manastaya krishna graha grihitatma na veda jagadidrisham. Prahlad was not interested in krida. He was not interested in IPL or Bollywood. He was not interested in Bollywood. He was focused on Krishna. Because krishna graha, Krishna planet had influenced him. Very important. People are generally afraid of Shani, you know, Rahu. But they don't know that the most dangerous planet is Krishna Graha. Krishna Graha Grihitatma. Because once one is influenced by Krishna Graha, then all his attraction for material sense gratification pales into insignificance. And then Narad Muni says, what is the best quality of Prahlad? What is the best? 24 hours he would remember Krishna. So this is very important for us to remember, because we have 9 processes of devotional service, and one of the most important is Smaranam. And for Shravanam, the example is given of Parikshit. For Pada Sevanam, Lakshmiji. For prayers, example of Akrura. For Dasyam, we have example of Hanuman. For Sakhyam, Arjun. And for Smaranam, remembering Krishna, the example of Prahlad. And we are in ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has told us we are following so many rules and regulations. And what is the essence of all these rules and regulations? Smartavya Fatatam Vishna, Vismartavya Jatu Chit. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So we are so fortunate that Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us how to remember Krishna. And if we follow his instructions, if we remember his example, we can also remember Krishna. And this remembrance is very powerful. The first canto describes, yad anudya sina yukta nirgrantha api urukrame, yad anudya sina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. That remembrance of Krishna is compared to asina, sword. Just like with a sword, you know, you can cut off things. So when we remember Krishna, material attachments and temptations can be cut off. And many times some modes, influences, we are so troubled by our anarthas. So at that time, if you can somehow remember Krishna favorably, anukula, then that remembrance, it gives certain kind of pleasure in the heart. And that pleasure gives us the strength, higher taste to say no to sense gratification. And we may not be able to overcome all the anarthas, but the ability to cope with the anarthas also comes when we can remember Krishna. And over a period of time, we can overcome. This is how powerful remembrance of Krishna is. And Prahlad Maharaj is the best example of this. And Narad Muni says, and such a great devotee, such a wonderful soul, and his father wanted to kill him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately says, I can't understand this. How can Hiranyakashipu torment his own son? Such a wonderful son. Please tell me in great detail. Because generally, when children are disobedient to their parents, the parents chastise them. But here, this child wants welfare of all. How can Hiranyakashipu chastise such a noble son? Please tell me. So demons, they don't mind chastising or killing their own son. Yudhishthira Maharaj was perturbed at that time. But today it's very common. Few years back, one devotee came from a Yavana country where if you are found to be chanting Hare Krishna, you are publicly killed in front of everybody. So there are 300 devotees secretly practicing Krishna consciousness. So he came here. He got initiation also in India. And he made his mother and sister also devotee. And they are chanting 16 rounds. So they came here. So then I told him, amazing. Your father, he knows all this? He says, no. If he comes to know, he will kill all three of us. I said, but he's your father. He doesn't love you. You are his son. He doesn't love your sister. He doesn't love his wife, your mother. He says, he loves all of us. But he loves his religion so much that if he comes to know that we love Krishna, he is going to immediately kill us. So this is now common. This will happen slowly. Very soon this dangerous propaganda may come to India also. So we may have Hiranyakashipu here also. So therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, I have not heard of such a contradiction. What a contradiction this is. That here is such a wonderful, wonderful son. And instead of being affectionate, the father is killing the son. Trying to torment the son. Actually, I was thinking, this also reveals another aspect of this material world. You know, how material world is so, such a miserable place that nobody can be happy. Hiranyakashipu had every reason to be so happy. What a son he has. You have Chitraketu Maharaj. He didn't have any son. He was miserable. He was also miserable. He didn't have any son. And he told Lord that, told the Rishi that, give me child. He got son. He was told, Harsha Shoka, your child will cause you misery. He said, no problem, but at least let me get a son. And you had Anga. Anga got a very demoniac son, Vena, who was tormenting everyone. And Anga was miserable. And he left kingdom and went to forest. And Hiranyakashipu got a demoniac son. Sorry, he got a very good son, but he wanted a demoniac son. I am sure they would have loved to exchange, you know. They would have loved to be in different situations. Vena would have, Anga would have loved to have Prahlad, and Hiranyakashipu would have loved to have. But material, that's material world for you, you know. We will never get what we want. So Hiranyakashipu's plight continues. So meanwhile, Prahlad is growing up. And Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, had two sons, Shanda and Amarka. So they were interested to teach Prahlad all the demoniac subjects. So they take him to school, they teach him nicely. Prahlad is very respectful. Then they get him to his father. My dear king, we have trained your son. So Hiranyakashipu is very happy. He says, my dear son Prahlad, what is the best subject you have learnt in school? And what does Prahlad say? Tat sadu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyama sadgrahat hitvatma patam grahamanda kupam vanam gato yad harimashrayeta. Oh, best of asuras, Hiranyakashipu, he addresses his father, that whoever is engaged in material sense gratification is always in anxiety because he is in graham andha koopam, the blind well of materialistic household life. my dear father, leave this life of sense gratification, leave it and go to the forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. Imagine saying this to the king of demons. This is Prahlad's compassion. This is his fearlessness. This is his faith in Lord Krishna. He could have easily been diplomatic. He could have saved himself. He could have chanted Hare Krishna secretly at home in the room. And he could have told his father, when his father asked him what is his favorite subject, he could have said something. He could have said geography or something like that. Or if you really wanted to please his father, he could have said political science is my favorite subject. And his father would have rubbed his head and he could have gone home. But no, he spoke the truth. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, very heavy purport, that blind well of materialistic life we should give up. Prabhupada writes, we invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness. Actually, this may sound heavy, but Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, whether you like it or not, it cuts. It doesn't flatter. So maybe we can't do what Prahlad is telling us, but at least we can try to remember Krishna. This remembrance of Krishna will help us increase our taste for giving up material. It will increase our taste in devotional service and it will help us give up materialistic life. So we can begin by hearing, chanting, and then this bonding will be cut. Radha Gopinath Prabhu says that how when a man gets married to a woman, the shawl of the man and the sari is tied together and they are told janam janam ke sati. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu said that similarly when we leave our original husband Krishna and we come to this material world, Maya catches us and she ties a bond and she says 84 lakh janam janam ke sati. And we are tied and then we have to be there and go through these modes influencing us and we are trapped, we are hit, completely helpless. So what is our hope? We can't get released from these modes. We can't get released from this torment of material energy. We have to remember Krishna and call out to Krishna helplessly by taking shelter of his holy names, chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hiranyakashipu hears his son say that go to forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. Hiranyakashipu starts. Does he get angry? He laughs. He says, the intelligence of our child is spoiled by the words of the enemy. The enemies have entered our camp in disguise. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, devotee should also enter the enemy camp of materialistic people in disguise and tell them about Krishna. Like that. So they are shocked, Shanda and Amarga. They take him back to school and they tell him with sweet words, dear Prahlad, please do not lie to us. Tell us, who is brainwashing you like this? Who is telling you all these things about Lord Vishnu? See, we are your friends. Please tell us. See, remember, Vishnu is our enemy. Don't associate with those people. Tell us who is telling you. And Prahlad is free from duality. He doesn't like all this enemy, friend, business. So he tells his teachers, those who are influenced by material energy, they think that somebody is my enemy and somebody is my friend. Lord Vishnu is our best friend and we have no enemy. Everyone, my dear teachers, everyone is a servant of God and we should love God. Now Srila Prabhupada, he reveals a very powerful point for devotees in the purport. Sometimes we may fall in the trap of Shanda and Amarka and we may think that what I am doing is best. And we may think he is a bad devotee, I am a good devotee, or he is a good devotee and he is a bad devotee. Just like Shanda and Amarka are thinking, this is good, they are bad, he is good. So we may also come into that consciousness. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, about for devotee's instruction, he says, everyone should be friendly for the service of Krishna. Everyone should praise another devotee's service to the Lord and should not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking. Vaikuntha thinking. And then Prabhupada writes, look at this statement. Service of another devotee is appreciated, not condemned. And everyone should be allowed to render service to Krishna to the best of his ability. And everyone should appreciate the service of others. Otherwise, we also fall into this trap of duality and criticizing other devotees and considering ourselves to be better. So we may get into the trap of Shanda and Amarka. Once Trivikram Maharaj, he complained to Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada, look at Yamuna Mataji. She never comes for Harinam Sankirtan. She stays at temple only. Now, Yamuna Mataji at that time had a lot of service in temple. 6-time offerings she was doing. And Trivikram Maharaj was saying, you should go out and do seva and book distribution, preaching. So he complained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, she doesn't understand. She's just in the temple whole day. And Prabhupada heard and Prabhupada said, but she sings so sweetly, isn't it? And Trivikram Maharaj said, yes, Prabhupada. But she doesn't cooperate. She's so uncooperative. And Prabhupada immediately said, she sings so sweetly for the Lord, isn't it? 3 times Trivikram Maharaj complained about Yamuna Mataji. And all 3 times Prabhupada said, she sings so sweetly for the Lord. And then he understood, oh, Prabhupada wants me to appreciate her. Appreciate her service. So Shanda and Amarka do not know this. And when Prahlada starts instructing them very lovingly, very humbly, that we should not consider Vishnu as our enemy, and he says that why I am attracted to Vishnu? Yata brahmyati ayo brahman swayam akarsha sannidho tatame vidyate chetas chakrapane ridruchaya. Just like iron filings are spontaneously attracted to a magnet, my heart is spontaneously attracted to Lord Vishnu. I am helpless. Prabhupada writes in the purport, in this material world, everyone's heart is spontaneously attracted to Maya, unfortunately. But pure devotee's heart is attracted to Vrindavan. So our hope is to get attracted to Krishna. Then Maya cannot touch us. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking with Brahmanand Prabhu, and he told Brahmanand Prabhu on the bank of the ocean, they were on the shore of the ocean, and he said, you see that crab? Catch that crab. Brahmanand Prabhu is huge. He jumped into the ocean to catch that crab, but the crab escaped. And Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada said, you are so huge, but you could not catch that small crab because that crab has taken shelter of the ocean. And then Srila Prabhupada said, Maya is also huge and we are tiny like that crab. And Maya cannot catch us if we take shelter of Lord Krishna. So like this, Prahlada is honestly confessing that his heart is completely captivated like an iron filing attracted by a magnet. So when Prahlada spoke this, Shanda and Amarka became furious. They said, please bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. He deserves to be punished. This rascal Prahlad has appeared like a thorn tree in the forest of beautiful sandalwood. So they are thinking they are all forest of sandalwood. And Prahlad is thorn. So they chastised Prahlad very severely. And then they taught him. Again, second innings now they started. We'll teach him nicely. So after teaching him again, they again brought him in front of Hiranyakashipu. They said, now we have taught him. We have undone all the previous education. So Hiranyakashipu embraced his son. Even Hiranyakashipu had affection. He got tears in his eyes. And he rubbed the head of his son Prahlad. And he smelt his head and put him on his lap. And said, my dear son, please tell what you have learnt in school. And Prahlada says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnum Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktische Navalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Adha Tanmanye Dhitamuttamam. Shravanam, he says about all the 9 processes of devotional service. Hear about Krishna, chant Krishna's name, worship his lotus feet, do deity worship, offer prayers, become servant of the Lord. And if we do this, we can get Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes a 15-page purport to this verse. 15 pages, why? So that we can read and we can understand. So when Hiranyakashipu hears this, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, he becomes extremely angry. His lips start trembling and he shouts. Actually, Hiranyakashipu could have ignored. See, children say many things. 5-year-old child, you know, we should not take their, we don't take their statement seriously. If you tell a child, beta, cute, and if you do something and the child says, child hits you also, child, or child gives you some bad word, we don't get angry. We say, oh, so cute, we say. Hiranyakashipu could have said, oh, how cute my child is, you know, speaking all crazy things. But because he had so much pride, And he was so obsessed. The whole world is saluting him, bowing to him. But one five-year-old child is not listening to him. He is getting so upset. Because of uncontrolled senses and pride. See what happens. So Hiranyakashipu gets very angry and he shouts at his teachers, Shanda and Amarga. You unqualified, heinous sons of Brahmana. You have taken side of Vishnu. You are teaching this poor boy, innocent boy about devotional service. This is nonsense. And friends are actually not friends. They are enemies in the garb of friend. I think you are all my enemies. Immediately, Shanda and Amarka, they protest. They say, my dear king, your son has spontaneous attraction to Vishnu. We have not spoiled him. We are sons of Brahmana. Please don't speak like that to us. We have not spoiled him. So then, Hiranyakashipu turns to Prahlad. And he says, you rascal Prahlad, you are the most fallen in our family. If you have not received this education from your teacher, Shanda and Amarka, where have you got this knowledge from? Now, how does Prahlad answer this question? Where has he got this knowledge from? He speaks three verses, and these three are most powerful verses. First verse, he speaks, what is the situation of his father, Hiranyakashipu? How miserable he is. And second verse, he speaks, what will be the future? What will happen because of this state of consciousness? And third verse, he speaks the solution to Hiranyakashipu. So first he says, Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vritanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. He says, my dear father, those who have uncontrolled senses and those who are attached to sense gratification, even if they try to understand Krishna, they cannot understand Krishna. And even if somebody tells them, they cannot understand Krishna because of their intense pride and desire for sense gratification. And they are chewing the chewed. Sense gratification, punas punas charvita charvananam. They are chewing the chewed. Like just like, you know, if somebody is chewed a chewing gum nicely, sucked out all the juice, and after chewing that bubble gum for 5 hours, if he spits it out, and imagine somebody sees it and he says, oh, bubble gum, and he gets excited and he chews it. It's so disgusting. But that is what sense gratification is. Prahlad is saying, if we are attracted to sense gratification, it is like chewing the chewed. And then he says, if you are in this consciousness, the result is, andha yata andha rupani yamana. We will be dragged into blind well of materialistic life, and we will continue to go through this repeated cycle of birth and death. There is no respite. And then what is the solution? Then Prahlad finally gives solution. Nesha matista vaduru kramangrim sprashat anartha pagamo yadartha maya sampadarajo bishekam nishkin chananam navrinita yavat. My dear father, smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who is completely freed from material contamination and be attracted to a pure devotee. And then when you serve him, you will be able to overcome all your material contamination. Srila Prabhupada writes how the only way we can get out of materialistic life of sense gratification is if we can somehow get attached to a pure devotee of the Lord. So when Prahlad spoke like this, Hiranyakashipu was blinded by anger. He picked up Prahlad and threw him. When Prahlad spoke like this, Hiranyakashipu threw him out of his lap. And Prahlad fell on the ground. And Hiranyakashipu, with his angry red eyes like molten copper, he told his servants, demons, come and take this child from me. He deserves to be killed. This boy is the one who has actually killed my brother. And he's untrustworthy. And then he looks at Vishnu and he says, he's so disobedient to his father, he will not obey you also. He's so convinced. And he says, just like when we have a disease in the body, sometimes we have to cut off the bodily limb just to protect the whole body. So Prahlad has to be killed. And when he tells his demons, associates, and the demons become very excited. They shout, chop him, pierce him. They make a tumultuous sound and they start attacking Prahlad with spears. And then they try to kill Prahlad. But nothing happens to Prahlad. He is protected by Lord Vishnu. So they kill him by making huge elephants walk over Prahlad. They hit his body with spears. They throw him in a pit filled with dangerous venomous snakes. They give him poison They starve him. So many things they do, but nothing happens to Prahlad. Finally, Hiranyakashipu gets depressed. He says, he's not getting killed. I think he's going to kill me now. Maybe he will not kill me. He is like a dog's tail, which cannot be straightened. So Hiranyakashipu starts thinking like this. And he's completely depressed. And that time, Shanda and Amarka again come. And they say, my dear Lord, Hiranyakashipu, give us one more chance. Don't worry. We'll brainwash him. He's a small child. And we'll change his mind. So again, third time they take him to teach him. So this time what happens? They are teaching Prahlad in the school. And then they go home, teachers. Or they go for a break during lunchtime. Prahlad catches all the students of the class. And calls them. And starts telling them about Lord Vishnu. He starts preaching Krishna consciousness to his classmates. And he tells them, now is the right time to practice Krishna consciousness. Kaumaram acharet pragyo. Because human life is rare. Chant Hare Krishna now. Children may think, oh, Prahlad is telling us to worship Vishnu. But Vishnu is our enemy. We have been told since childhood. So next verse Prahlad says, no, Vishnu is not our enemy. Yatai purushasyeha Vishnu padopa sarpanam yadesha sarva bhutanam priya atmeshvara suhurt. Vishnu is our best friend. He is our well-wisher. He is the supreme lord. Therefore, take shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu. And the children may say, okay, Vishnu is our friend. But why take it up now? Let us take devotional service later. Let us enjoy now. So then Prahlad says, no. Enjoyment is available for animals also. Sukam indriyakam deitya deya yogena dehinam sarvatra labate deva yata dukkham ayatnata. Just like misery we get without asking, happiness also we'll get. Know the goal of life. We are lost in this material world. Let us take shelter of Vishnu. Once one person joined our temple. His friend got very upset. He said, my friend has been brainwashed. Let me go and get him back. He's lost. So he came searching for him everywhere. And he came to temple. And guess who was sitting? Krishnanand Prabhu was there. So this man, Krishnanand Prabhu saw that this man is searching for somebody. So Krishnanand Prabhu said, what happened? He said, I'm looking for my friend. My friend is lost. So do you know him? Can I find him here? Krishnanand Prabhu said, your friend is lost. Do you know you're also lost? He said, what? I'm lost. He said, yeah. Do you know the goal of life? So he said, no. Sit, I'll tell you what is the goal of life. So then he preached to him. And that man went on to become a devotee. He's initiated. He's Sundarananda Prabhu. So we are so Krishnanand Prabhu's power. So moral of the story, we're all lost. So we may be thinking that I have to do so many things, I have to do so many big things. But any materialistic activity is useless because ultimately we are lost in this material world without Krishna. And then Prahlad says, just take shelter of Krishna. Natata vindate kshemam mukunda charanambujam. Mukunda, Krishna is our only well-wisher. And then he gives analysis, Prahlad. He says, how many years we have? Only 100 years. And in 100 years, half the time is gone in sleeping. And remaining half in playing. Like that he analyzes and he says, we have very little time for devotional service. Actually, Sachinandan Maharaj was here some years ago in Sunday Feast class. He made one experiment. He asked for the oldest man in the crowd. You know, that time Valmiki Muni Prabhu was there. He was 90. So Valmiki Muni Prabhu was sitting in the behind. So he had one big cloth, Sachinandan Maharaj, silk cloth. So he gave one end of the cloth to him. And he said, who is the youngest? One four-year-old boy was there. He made that boy stand here. So he said, this is our life, from childhood to old age. And this cloth is our life. And then he had a big scissors. He said, now. And he went to the middle of the cloth and he cut it. And he said, half of our life is gone in sleeping. And then both of them had to come closer, the old man and the young boy. And then said, remaining half time has gone in playing and sense gratification. So like that, it became so thin. This much cloth was left, finally. And he said, this is our life. We have very little time. Just take shelter of Krishna. So Prahlad instructs, very beautiful. You can read this 6th chapter or 7th canto. And finally, So he instructs his friends like this.
For the children are very impressed.
Oh, Prahlad is telling us to take shelter of Vishnu.
They say, but Prahlad, you are grown up with us. Where did you learn all this? Who taught you all this?
And then Prahlad says, how when he was in the womb of his mother, his father had gone to perform tapasya. The demigods kidnapped his mother, waiting for him to be born so that they could kill him, thinking that the demon son will also be a demon. And then Narad Muni, my spiritual master, gave shelter to my mother in his ashram, and he protected her, and he imparted her transcendental instructions. But because she was a simple woman, she has forgotten all of it. But I was in her womb, I heard everything, and I remember everything, that Lord Vishnu is our best friend. So Prahlad remembers everything, and his friends are also very happy. They all come together in the school and they all start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now Shanda and Amarka see this, that till now Prahlad was not improving, but now he's influencing the other children in the school. So they go to Hiranyakashipu and tell him, my dear king, your son is now spoiling the whole school. When Hiranyakashipu hears this, he becomes very angry. He starts hissing like a snake that has been trampled upon by someone's foot. And he starts staring at Prahlad with his crooked eyes, extremely angry. Even now he could have ignored Prahlad because he had three very, very good sons. He didn't have, see, people have one son and he becomes bad, it's okay. We can understand his lamentation. But Hiranyakashipu had three other sons, four sons he had. One has gone bad, he could have ignored. But so much envy against the Lord, so much pride that I am the best, he could not tolerate his son being a devotee. Those who are proud, they can't tolerate anyone being better than them. It is said that Duryodhan, he would never carry an umbrella. Even if it was very hot, he would never have umbrella over him. Because he could not tolerate anyone above him. That was the logic. This is demoniac mentality. Very extremely proud people, they can't stand. You know, Hitler also, he needed spectacles because his eyes were getting weak. But he was so proud, he didn't want to be considered as somebody, you know, weak. Because spectacles means not so all-powerful. So his typewriter, he made the scientists create a special typewriter with very big fonts. So that he can use it. That was his ego. He was such an egomaniac. And so many nasty things he did. But eventually how did he die? He died in a rat hole. And Srila Prabhupada said, people say Hitler killed so many people. But nobody asked the question, who killed Hitler? Time killed Hitler also. So Hiranyakashipu is now inviting death. And he shouts at Prahlad. He says, He Durvinita Mandatman Kulabeda Karadama Stabdhamma Shasanodvrittam Neshe Twadya Yamakshayam. Durvinita, most impudent, Mandatman, stupid fool, disgrace to our family, Adhama, lowest, stubborn, you defying my authority, you deserve to go to Yamraj. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, being a great Vaishnava, he says, Hiranyakashipu, from his mouth, Mother Saraswati is speaking. And actually it is glorification of Prahlad. When Hiranyakashipu is saying Durvinita, it is not that Prahlad is impudent. Durvinita means somebody who is specially brought to material world. And he gives different meanings for each word. And he says Mandatman, stupid fool. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translates it as Mandatman means guide to all stupid fools. And like that, Kula Beda Karadama, you are so special that in front of you all kulas become insignificant. And you are stubborn. You are stubborn and you refuse to follow demoniac instructions. And Neshet Vadya Yamakshayam, you deserve to go to Yamraj. But Vishnu Sakadhi translates it as, you will be the one who will deliver me from Yamraj. Like that, this is a devotee's way of Saragrahi Vaishnava. He sees good in everyone. Hiranyakashipu is very angry that Prahlad is influencing his school children, his other schoolmates. And then he says, rascal Prahlad, when I am angry, when I move my eyebrows, all the planetary systems tremble. And you are so impudent that you are challenging me. I want to know from where you are getting your power. Tell me where you are getting your power from. And Prahlad says very humbly, my dear king, the source of my strength is also the source of your strength. Both of our strength is coming from the same source, and that is Supreme Lord Vishnu. He is the supreme controller and time factor. Lord Vishnu is the supreme power of the senses. He is the power of the mind. He is the power of the body. He is the best friend of all living entities. He is the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates cosmic manifestation. He maintains it and he annihilates it. And then Prahlad says, my dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Lord Vishnu is not your enemy. Your uncontrolled and misguided mind is your only enemy. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer their own mind and senses, but they conquered the 10 directions, but still they were most miserable. So Prahlad gives very clear instruction to his father that Vishnu is not your enemy, your mind is your enemy. Very instructive. Many times, you know, as devotees also, you may think, I have this problem, I have that problem, he is causing me problem. Actually, Prabhupada also writes in the purport, in conclusion, only enemy is our mind and senses. So if we can somehow reconcile to this fact and work on our chanting and know that my mind is my biggest enemy, we will become peaceful. So Hiranyakashipu, when he hears this, he becomes more angry. Upadeshoye murkhanam prakopayana shantaye payopanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam. If you try to control a snake by giving him milk, his poison will increase. There is a story in Itopadesh that one monkey was wet in the rain. So the birds in the nest told him, my dear monkey, you are getting wet in the rain. It is not good. Why don't you make a house like we have made? Monkey got very angry. But you are teaching me. Look what I will do. And he jumped and he broke all the nest. For that purport is given. How demoniac people, if you instruct them, they will attack you only. So Hiranyakashipu gets very angry. He says, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value. You are saying that you are better in controlling your senses than I am. You are over intelligent. So I think you want to die in my hands now. Oh, unfortunate Prahlad. You are saying that Lord Vishnu is the controller and he is everywhere. Is he in this pillar? Prahlad consents. And then Hiranyakashipu says, because you are speaking so much nonsense, I will kill you. And I will prove to you that there is no God in this pillar. Let me see if he comes and protects you. And in great anger, Hiranyakashipu withdrew his sword. He removed his sword. And then with his right fist, he hit the column, the huge pillar. And when he hit the pillar, what happened? A fearful sound came. And that sound appeared to crack the universe. And even Brahma's abode, the sound could be heard. And everybody thought, our planets are now going to be destroyed. Upon hearing this tumultuous sound, everybody got afraid. And at that moment, Satyam vidatum nijabritya bhashitam vyaptim chabuteshu akileshu chatmanam adrishyatata adbutarupam udvahan stambe sabhayam namrugam namanusham. To prove the statements of his devotee Prahlad as satya, true, the Supreme Lord Vishnu appeared from the pillar in the form of half man, half lion. Na mrigam, na manusham. This was the appearance of Lord Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. And Hiranyakashipu looked at this huge, wonderful form of the Lord and he wondered, what is this creature? If this is a man or an animal? And suddenly before him was this ferocious form of Lord Narasimhadev, whose eyes resembled molten gold. His shining mane, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved like a dueling sword. His nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. He had broad chest. His hairs on his body were white like the rays of the moon. And Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, this is Lord Vishnu appearing in his most ferocious form. And Hiranyakashipu starts thinking, can this form fight with me? No, I'm going to kill him. He's confident. And Narad Muni says, just like a small insect falls into a fire, Hiranyakashipu was now falling into the fire of Lord Vishnu.
about to be devoured. But he had mystic powers too. So he flew in the air and attacked Lord Narasimhadev from different directions. But Lord Vishnu caught him just like a Garuda captures a snake. But then Lord Vishnu released him, allowed him to escape. So Hiranyakashipu thought, oh, I'm so great. And when he escaped, demigods are watching this fight from the clouds. And suddenly when they saw Hiranyakashipu escape, they got scared. They thought he may escape and then he may look up and he may see we are watching and then he may come and take revenge on us. So they hid behind the clouds. Lord Vishnu was enjoying this fight. Hiranyakashipu then started thinking, oh, I've escaped from this. That means I can kill. See, this is the Lord's wonderful pastime. He makes the demons feel that they can win. Earlier also, Varadev also, same thing. He made Hiranyaksha feel that he's going to win. And suddenly, you know, he slaps him and kills him. Because that makes it, that's more humiliating, no? When a person thinks he's going to win, like, you know, if somebody in cricket, if somebody is bowling, tight overs and very good bowling, and everybody is saying, very good, tight overs is bowling. And suddenly last over, if the batsman hits six balls, six sixers, what will happen? Everything will, previous thing will be forgotten. So like that, Lord Narasimhadev, okay, you are winning, and suddenly he kills him. So what he does, Lord Narasimhadev captures Hiranyakashipu, puts him on his lap, and tears apart his chest, and removes his, all his intestines from the body, and puts it as a garland on his own body. And he starts roaring in great anger. And as Hiranyakashipu is dying, he starts remembering, oh, I had asked for a benediction. What is the benediction he had asked? He should not be killed by a man or an animal. But what is this creature? He's trying to figure out. It's neither a man nor an animal. And he wanted to be killed neither inside the house nor outside the house. The Lord brings him in the door of the house. And he didn't want to die on the land or the sky. The Lord puts him on his lap. And he didn't want to be killed by any weapon, living or dead. Lord killed him with his nails. Nails is neither living. Doctor said it's a vestigial organ. It's a waste product. But at the same time, it's living in the sense it's growing also. So it's dead or living. So like that, all paradoxes only Lord can resolve. And Lord kills him and decorates himself with a garland of intestines. And this is how the Lord wonderfully reciprocates with Prahlad by killing Hiranyakashipu. Once is Olinath Radhanaswami Maharaj was saying that whenever Krishna appears, he appears as son of some devotee because he likes to be called by his devotee's name, like Vasudev Nandan, Yashoda Nandan. But look at Lord Narasimhadev, he is willing to be called as Pillar Nandan. Maharaj is saying, he is willing to be called as born from a pillar. That is how much he loves Prahlad. And for his devotee, to reciprocate with his devotee, he comes out of the pillar. And he's in a very angry mood now because he has killed Narasimhadev. All the demons attack. Lord Narasimhadev kills all those demons also. And everybody comes to pacify him. People from the Pitru Loka, Siddha Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, the Nagas, the Manus, the Kimpurusha Loka, Vetalas. Everybody comes. Shiva, Indra. Nobody is able to appease the Lord. He is roaring and he is so angry. If you go to our Simhachalam, there we have Lord is Narasimhadev's deity, put Chandan there put. And Vakshaya Tritiya day they remove the Chandan. So when Prabhupada went there, he saw and devotees said, why they put Chandan on Lord Narasimhadev? Prabhupada said, to keep him cool-headed. This is to keep the Lord cool. The Lord is in an angry mood, they put Chandan. So there are series of prayers, but nobody is able to satisfy Lord Narasimhadev. And then finally, Brahma turns to Prahlad. He says, Prahlad, you are responsible for the Lord to appear. So you please go and pacify the Lord. And very humbly, Prahlad goes in front of the Lord. And Lord, when he sees Prahlad, immediately places him upon his lap. And just like a lion licks his cub, the Lord licks it. And the Lord embraces him, fills him with great love. And then Prahlad starts offering wonderful prayers. And this is some of the most intense prayers you will find in Bhagavatam, even the 9th chapter or 7th canto. This is interesting. Prahlad is not feeling that he is the best. You know, nobody could satisfy Lord Narasimhadev. And he is now satisfied, but he doesn't feel I am the best. He feels completely unqualified. And he offers the most intense prayers. Generally, it's very easy to be humble when we are failing or when we are not getting success. But Prahlad is in the peak of his success. He is responsible for Lord to appear. Actually, to be humble in the middle of success requires great character. It's not easy. It's easy to be humble when, you know, you're struggling. But here, Prahlad has got everything. And he's offering the most intense prayers after the problem is solved. Generally, when we are in the middle of a problem, we offer intense prayers. Like if you're going for yatra or some very far-off place, we intensely chant Narsingh Arati. But after we reach the place, do we chant Narsingh Arati? We have reached. So let us intensely chant. Nobody. Our mood is generally before some difficulty. When we are in difficulty, we chant prayers. But when the difficulty is solved, we are jumping and dancing and we are happy. We forget Krishna. But it is during this time, even Kunti Devi, after Pandavas have won the war, everything they have got, she is offering most intense prayers. Very inspiring prayers. And he begins by saying, "My dear Lord, I am son of a demon. Brahma and all these demigods, they are your great devotees." And he offers series of prayers saying that the only qualification for living entity is to give pleasure to the Lord's senses. And then he says, "My dear Lord, I don't want anything from you." Lord says, "Ask for a benediction." He says, "I don't want anything." And then he says, "I'm not a merchant. I'm not doing business with you." And then he says, "I'm not afraid of your ferocious form. I'm not afraid of this ferocious looking form, but I'm afraid of material world. I'm afraid of taking birth again. Please protect me from these three modes of material nature." And then he says, "Nobody can protect anyone in this material world. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro narasimha nartasya chagadamudanvati majjato na taptasya tat pratividiryayanjaseshthas tavad vibho tanubhritam tadupekshitanam." He says, "My dear Lord, a child may have the best parents, but still the child may die. And somebody may be on the best boat, but the boat may drown. And somebody may be treated by the best doctor, but still he may die. This material world is so unpredictable. We are not in control. So we need your mercy." So like that, he takes shelter of the Lord. And then the Lord says, "Any benediction you want?" Repeatedly the Lord asks, and then he says, "Give me service to my guru." Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kama bhikama manuya prapatan prasangat kritva masat surasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nuvisrije tava brithya sevam. He tells the Lord, "My dear Lord, how can I give up the association and service to my guru? Because of him, I have got your darshan." And then he says, "Hamsa sangha, I want association of swan-like devotees." He's in front of the Lord and is asking for association of devotees. Generally, we are with devotees and we ask, you know, "I want Krishna." But he has got the Lord's association and he's saying, "Please give me association of your devotees." Then again, Lord says, "Any benediction?" Again, he asks him for more benediction and he says, "Please forgive my father." And Prahlad, with great affection, remembers his father loving him and rubbing his head. So many atrocities his father committed towards him, but he remembers that gesture of affection. This is Vaishnav, Saragrahi. Actually, Srila Prabhupada also in one lecture, he calls Hiranyakashipu as Sriman Hiranyakashipu. Yes. Because of him, Lord Narasimhadev came. So in this whole episode, what we can learn is how Prahlad, in his most difficult situation, intensely remembered Krishna. And is also offering wonderful prayers. Actually, Prahlad is the best example of a devotee who gives up trying to control situations and just, "Krishna, I am yours." He didn't try to protect himself when the demons attacked. He just gave up. Just completely dependent on Krishna. Actually, this is very difficult. We may theoretically pray, but to actually give up the controller tendency and to actually place our lives in the hands of Krishna, that, "Krishna, I am placing my life. I am yours." That's very difficult. Kadam Kanan Swami Maharaj was saying once, that how when he was going from India to Iran, devotees had sent him with a truck and he had to take some things. So in Iran he was caught and he was put with his friend towards the wall and they were about to shoot him and his hands were up. And he said, "That was the best chance for me to intensely depend on Krishna. But I was praying to Krishna, but I was also thinking how to escape." And then out of his humility he was saying how there are so many occasions when Krishna actually allows us to just depend on him. But still we are planning, "How I can do this, how I can solve this problem, how I can do this." So we can't artificially do like Prahlad, always just depend on Krishna. But at least what we can do, at least during our 2 hours of chanting, we can give up the controller tendency and
Actually, while chanting also, we are generally, you know, I'll after my japa, another 15 minutes, two rounds, then I'll do this, then I'll chant four rounds, and then I'll do this, then I'll do this, send this email. So many things we do. But if we can somehow avoid planning during japa period, and at least at that time, if we can say, Krishna, I'm yours, I want to give up all planning, we'll immediately experience big relief, you know, as if some big thing has taken away from our head. If we can be attentive to Krishna during those japa time, then we may one day come to a stage when we can depend on Krishna 24 hours. Like Prahlad. So Prahlad offers wonderful prayers. And finally, this pastime comes to an end. Yudhishthira Maharaj is very satisfied, very happy hearing this pastime. Actually, recent times, situations have arisen when we have to really depend on Lord Narasimhadev now. Because a lot of misrepresentation of the Vedic culture, a lot of demoniac tendencies are increasing. And so we need to pray to Lord Narasimhadev very intensely. And Lord Narasimhadev will come, just like he appeared to Chand Kazi and threatened him not to disturb the devotees. And since that day, even today, if you go to Mayapur, they don't disturb the devotees doing kirtan. So we have to follow Prahlad Maharaj's footsteps and fearlessly preach. Sometimes we think fearlessly preaching, in the name of fearless preaching, we become arrogant also. Fearless but compassionate and humble, we have to preach. And also, we have to learn this quality of forgiveness from Prahlad. I thought these three qualities are very striking in Prahlad. Humility, gratitude, and forgiveness, that is, forgiving his father. Generally, devotees do everything good for us, but one small bad thing they do, and then we remember only that. And Hiranyakashipu has done only bad things to Prahlad, but he remembers that one good thing. So we can learn that. And forgiveness is so difficult, but it is the quality that can actually help us attract Krishna's mercy. Today morning, I was reading that SMS about forgiveness. That forgiveness is something, to learn forgiveness, we should learn from a flower which is giving fragrance even as it is being crushed. You know, even if somebody is mistreating, and if we can actually be nice and positive, that is forgiving. Prahlad had that quality, and we can aspire to develop forgiveness, humility, and simplicity also. Prahlad was so simple. He just loved the Lord. And the Lord appeared in this most ferocious form. He was so ecstatic, so happy. Once we had gone to Mangalgiri, where there is the deity of Pana Narasimha. Narasimhadev's mouth is wide open and is drinking jaggery water. They serve jaggery water to Narasimhadev. And for millions of years, Lord Narasimhadev is drinking. So we were with the devotees and His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And Brahmacharya and Maharaj went up fast. And then we were waiting for all the devotees to climb the hill and take darshan. So we were waiting. So some Brahmacharis were thinking, so much water this Narasimhadev is drinking. Where is this water going? You know, is there some pipe or canal system or what exactly? So Maharaj was sitting and we asked him, Maharaj, so then Gaurang Prabhu on behalf of all of us, he used his, you know, intelligence and he said, Maharaj, we are wondering, that so much water Narasimhadev is drinking. So this jaggery water, it's a speciality. If you take one glass of jaggery water and put, as soon as you put half, Lord Narasimhadev will start making gargling sound. If you take a big can also, as soon as you put half, that means I have accepted, now this is prasad. So every devotee, all devotees come and put that jaggery water. And no ants there. Lord Narasimhadev is drinking. So Gaurang Prabhu said, Maharaj, where does this water go? Maharaj smiled and said, Lord Narasimhadev drinks it. Very simply, he said. So then Gaurang Prabhu said, yeah, actually, yeah, but then where does that water go? You know, is there some system? And again, Maharaj very simply said, yeah, Lord drinks it. Such simple faith. And then Gaurang Prabhu said, Are samjo, abhi, don't ask now. You know, he's on a different level. we are using our material mind to understand how Lord is drinking. So Narasimhadev is drinking. So this simple faith we need, actually, we can pray for this, because Krishna consciousness, ultimately it all boils down to this simple faith in the Lord. The Lord is most wonderful. He can perform this most amazing pastime. And when we cultivate or aspire to cultivate these qualities of Prahlad, humility, simplicity, forgiveness, and then we can be instruments in the Lord's mission. To the degree we can become free from false pride and the Hiranyakashipu mentality, we can actually be happy ourselves and we can make others also happy. Peter Burwash Prabhu was here last year. He was saying, what a powerful point.
He was telling that your community is so nice, you are so fortunate. And then he said, to the degree you have false pride, you may preach, you may remain devotees, he was saying. But he said, you will be able to give others only what you have. But if you cultivate humility and forgiveness and all these Vaishnava qualities, then he said, then you can give others even that which you don't have. That means you can give Krishna's grace to others. And he was saying, just like a water is going through a pipe, but the water may be clogged. He said, similarly, Krishna's grace may go to all the conditioned souls in Mumbai, but our false ego will clog it. So he said, let us cultivate humility, genuine humility, and let us aspire for this. And then we can fill our lives with Krishna consciousness. And then we can be instruments to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I would like to sincerely thank all of you for coming today evening. Now we'll have very nice aarti for Lord Narasimhadev and then ecstatic prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Yeah.